Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yuma Yudalad. We are at the Mishnah, which is 12 lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Mishnah called Shivas Hayam, throughout all those 7 days of Prisha, where the Kohen Gadol resides in the Lishkas Parhedrin, those days are meant for training as well, called Shivas HaYamim, throughout those 7 days, who Zerik is Adam, the Kohen Gadol is meant to do, the Zrika of the Dam, of the Tamid, in the Beis HaMikdash, Umakteris Akteris, he would bring the Akteris on the Mizbeach, Umaytevis HaNeris, he would clean out the Menorah, and prepare it for the Hadlaka, Umakriv Esaroish Vesaregel, and he would be Makriv, the Roish, the foot. This was the first installment. So they split up the carbon tamid in sections, and the first kohen would bring the roish and regal on the mizbeach, and that was meant as the kohen gadol's portion. So he was involved in the avoda and the akrava of the karbonis during those 7 days, in order to train him for the upcoming avoda yom kippur. Ushar kol yamim, now throughout the rest of the year. He didn't have to be involved, but if he chose to, he had full privilege to take part. Imrotza, if he wished, lahakriv, to take part in the hakrova makriv, he can do so. Even at the expense of the kohanim who meant to serve on that day, he could just come in there and take a part. Shekohen gadol makriv chelek barosh. Kohen gadol has a chelek, has a part in the hakrova barosh. He can choose the best Hakrava that he wants, the best portion of the carbon, whatever he wants to do, he has a right to do so. He was the head of the Kohen Gadolim, and he had that privilege. V'noitel chelek barosh, when it came to consuming the carbon, he had full right to choose the best portion of the carbon for his achila. Let's take a look at Rashi, which is around 15 lines from the top of the Amid. Mas nisen, hu zorek es adam, shot midim. So he was involved in the zrika of the dam. Talmud Shal Shachar, Shabbat Arbaim, Kadeshi Rogel Umezuman, Bavoides Yom Kippurim, so he should be fully versed and proficient and fully practiced when it comes to that great day, Yom Kippur. Umeitev Esaneris, Medashim and Efer Apsila Shekavu, you'd clean out the ash, the spent wicks which were in the menorah. V'chein Kol Yom V'yom, says Rashi, this was something done on a daily basis. Mativen Babaiker, they would actually clean out the menorah in the morning. Shenemar, babaiker, babaiker, betivas haneiros. So this is a daily chore, and we're going to see in the Gemara the fact that the pasuk uses a double word, babaiker, babaiker. It teaches us that the hatava process, the cleansing process in the menorah, took place in two phases. We're going to see the Gemara first day would clean out 5 neiros, and then do something else, whether it was dam hatamid, which was Nizrak at that point on the Mizbeach, or the Keturis, which was burnt on the Mizbeach, something came in between of cleaning 5 cups and then going to the next step, which is cleaning the remaining 2 Neiros on the Menorah. So Hatovas HaNeiros was a daily event. V'chol Yoyim Maktirin Keturis Behechel, as well as the Akturis Keturis, was a daily event. They would bring the Keturis, Pras B'Shachris, Pras B'Narbaim, half of the tourists was brought in the morning and half in the afternoon. Ushur kol yamim imrotza, throughout the rest of the year, if the Kohen Gadol wished to take part in the akrava, lehetiv lahakriv is called korban shiirtza, makriv. Ve'ein hamishmar yachol akval yodei, the mishmar cannot get in his way. He has a right to participate in any akrava that he chooses. Makriv chelek barosh. What does barosh mean? He can pick first choice. Roishu lahakter lahakriv kol chelik sheyivchar. And when it comes to eating the karbanis as well, v'noitel chalak b'roish. Bechalukas achilas kochem, b'roish means mono yafa, the best portion, sheyivchar lai, which he chooses for himself. So this was part of his the perks that went with the position. He had full right to choose the akrova that he would like to take part in, as well as the chelik of the karban that he'd like to have the achilon. Continues the Gemara, Mantana. Who is the Tana? We actually learned that during those 70 May Prisha, the Kohen Gadol would undergo hazah. They would take the Eifer Paraduma and the water that comes with it, the Mechatas, and do hazah on the Kohen Gadol throughout those 7 days. Just in case he's tamei with tumas meis, this would keep him, this would ensure that he's tohar from any tumah. Now take a look at our Mishnah, which tells us that the Kohen Gadol throughout those 7 days was able to do hakrav on karbonis. He was considered to be tohar. Man Tana. Who is this Tana of our Mishnah? Which maintains that despite the fact that he got a daily hazah of mechatas on himself, he was still considered tohar and roy to do hakrav. Who's the shita? Amar of Chizda, apparently it's the loy Rabbi Akiva. It's not in line with Rabbi Akiva. Why? Dear Rabbi Akiva, because according to him, Ha'amar, he says, Tor shenafla olav hazo'a timasoi. Suppose the mechatas was sprinkled on a person who's really tor. Says Rabbi Akiva, and we're doing this from a pasuk coming up in the Gemara soon, this may paradua actually makes him tamei. If he's tamei and he needs the hazo'a, then it will make him tor. But if he's tzar and this is really an unnecessary hazah, it has the opposite effect, it makes him tummy. He has to go to the mikveh, has to have a shemesh. Now take a look at this Kohen Gadol, who's getting hazah throughout all 7 days of Yimei Prisha, just in case. Just in case he's tummy, but there's a good chance that he's really tzar. And according to Rabbi Akiva, being mazah, the mechatas on this type of Kohen, in this type of situation, would make him tummy and render him unfit for Hakrava. And the Mishnah tells us he does Hakrava throughout the 7 days. Apparently, we're not following Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush. We'll find the Rabban and hold, there is no such halacha. Hazov may pour on a person does not make him tummy. So again, because the Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amar, Tor Shanafla Olav Hazov Timasoi, he holds that a Tor, who was sprinkled with the Paraduma water, it makes him tummy. Hechi Ovid Avoid. How can this Kohen, who's getting the hazah throughout those 7 days, how can you do the avodah? We always have to be concerned that perhaps he wasn't really tamei and wasn't really in need of this hazah, in which case the hazah made him tamei. Where do we find this machlekes? Desanya v'iza hator al hatamei. The pasuk says the tor should do the hazah with the mechatas, meparaduma, on the tamei. Now, why the additional description? Al ha-tameh. Of course, the Pasha is speaking about doing hazah on a tameh. Apparently, there's an added chiddush, which is, yeah, if it's al ha-tameh tar, if the hazah was placed on a person who was tameh and was in need of the hazah, then it makes him tar. Al ha-tameh tar. Val ha-tar tameh. But if the hazah was applied to a person who wasn't in need of hazah, in which case it was a totally unnecessary hazah, al ha-tar tameh. It makes him tummy, has the opposite effect. Pretty wondrous phenomenon, which the Gemara will get into later. Divrei Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim aimrim, they disagree. Hazah can never make a person tummy. Ein advarim halalu amurim. You know why the pasuk says v'iza hator al hatummy? The extra words hatummy are coming to teach us that the concept of hazah only applies if it's directed at something that can become tummy, such as a person, a keli. That's what we consider this maisa as a maasa hazah. Ein hadvarim halolo amurim. This concept of hazah is only said ela bedvarim hamekablim tuma. Only if it's directed at something which is mekabel tuma, which has potential for tuma, a person, a keli, but for instance, a behema, which in its lifetime cannot be mekabel tuma, then mechata sprinkled upon the behemoth is not considered an act of hazah. And what difference does it make? So let's drop over to Rashi. It's around three lines down. Alatame, the words alatame is indeed lidrasha. You're right, it's coming to tell you something. Lidrasha. But rather than tell you Rabbi Akiva's chiddush that a Tor who received Hazor becomes Tamei. No, that's not the point. Loimar she'in divra Hazor amurin. The concept of Hazor is only said, only applies elevedvarim ha-makablim tum. Aval b'dvarim she'ein mekavim tuma, ein hazo, hanetezes alein kruy hazoya. Then the water sprinkled upon them is not considered an hazoya. What difference does it make whether we call it hazoya or not? V'naf kamina, difference like this, regarding the remnant, whatever is left over in the grass, right? So take some grass, dip it into the mechatas, and use it for hazoya. So whatever is left behind in this plant, shashirayim sheish be'ezev, the shirayim left over in the ezev in this plant, shiyori psuli hein ve'nachshir lahazos. Meaning like this, if he directed the hazah at a person, at a kli, which is mekabel tumah, that's called an act of hazah, in which case the water remaining behind in that plant is still kosher for hazah. But if he directed the hazah at something which is not mekabel tumah, an animal, it's not called a masa hazah. It's just called using the Eifer Paraduma, and therefore the water left behind in that plant can no longer be reused for Hazor. It's possible because it's as though he did a malacha with it. He diverted for other use. It's possible for Hazor. That's the point of the Pasuk. V'hizah hator al ha'tomeh. Yeah, Hazor on something which has potential tuma, personally, that is considered a masa Hazor, which doesn't invalidate the water that's left behind the plant. It's not considered a malacha that was done with that water. It was a ma'at ha'azah. Mayi, where do we find this halacha? It says the Gemara Mayi, where do we find this concept? Because it's not, as we find in the Mishnah. Nisgavin lahazis ala behema. Viz ala adam. Suppose he intended on doing the hazah on an animal which is not makabel tumah. In actuality, viz ala adam. The hazah landed on a person. So Mishnah tells us, we don't reckon with his intention, with his kavana. The fact is, hazah here was directed at a person who's mekabel tumah, and therefore it's considered a proper ma'aseh hazah. And therefore, says the Mishnah, im yesh be'ezer, if there's still some water left over in the ezer, yishna, he can repeat, he can use it for hazah purposes. However, in the skavan lahazah is ala adam. But in the reverse case, where he intended on doing the hazah on a person, but lemaisa, in practice, the Yizal Behema. What he missed, and the water went on a Behema. In this case, since in actuality the Hazah landed on a Behema, who was not Makabo Tumah, who was not in the realm of Tumah and Hazah, it's not called an act of Hazah. Imyesh Be'ezev L'Yishna. And therefore, even if there's water left behind in the plant that he's holding, he cannot repeat, he can't use that for Hazah because he misused the water for a non-hazah activity. Rashi says, it's as though he did a malacha with it, which invalidates, which parcels the water. So according to the Chachamim, this is what we learn from the Pasuk. V'hizah hator al ha'tameh. A hazah on a person, on a kli, who can be mekabel tumah, is considered a masa hazah, in which case the water left behind in the plant is still ra'i for hazah. But if the hazah was applied to a behemah, who's not in the parasha of tumah, who's not makabel tumah, and doesn't relate to hazah at all, doing that invalidates the water. It's as though he did a malacha. He sidetracked. He misused the water for something else, and the water now is pasul. Even the water left behind in the plant is pasul for future use. And this is what we learn from Viza Atar al Hatami. Rekiva, on the other hand, learned the chiddush. Viz Atala Tomei tells you, Hazor applied to a person whose Tomei is Matarim, but applied to a person whose Tor makes him Tomei. My time at the Rekiva. What is the Rekiva's reason? Nichtav Rachman, the Pasuk, could have simply said, Viz Atar Olav. The Torah will do Hazor on him. On who? On the person who's being mentioned in the Parsha, person who's Tomei, who touched the mace, etc. You know that he's a Tomei. My Allah Tomei. Why does the Pasuk add the words Al Ha Tomei? Shema Mina, we learn from here a great chiddush regarding the powers of the mechatas. Allah tomei, if the hazor went on a person whose tomei tor, purifies it. Vala tor, conversely, if it was applied to a person who didn't need it, he's tor, tomei. It makes him tomei. For Rabbanon, what do Rabbanon do with the extra word al ha tomei? come to teach us their halacha. Hi, these words are ledvarim amakabon tumodasa. Come to teach us that a masa is only reckoned a masa azah if it is directed and applied on something which is makabotum, as opposed to a behema, which is not makabotuma. And applying hazot to the behemoth is considered nasias malacha with the water and makes the water pasul. But your chiddush, we don't agree with that. Aval hacha kavu chaymer. But this case where he applies hazot to a tor, which you maintain makes him tummy, impossible. It's illogical. We have a kavu chaymer to disprove that. Kavu chaymer hu imal a tummy tor. If it's applied to a person's tummy, it can turn him into tor. It has that ability to be matir a tummy, ala tor lekoshkin. Certainly, it has the same power when it's applied to a person's tor. How can you say it makes him tummy? Hazah is meant to purify. It can't have the opposite effect and make a person who's tor into tummy. It doesn't work. V'Rabbi Akiva. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? You're right. It's something that we can't really comprehend. Hainu tegamer shleima. We're not the first ones. Shleima Melech and Kehelas actually expressed his amazement at these halachis, at the seeming paradox regarding the powers of the paraduma water. Omarti echkema. I figured I could comprehend the meaning, the essence of paraduma. It turns out that it's very far from me. I have no comprehension whatsoever. Yeah, he's referring to this very halacha. It makes a person tar, can make a person tummy at the same time. V'rabbanan. Now the Rabbanan who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva's chiddush, how do they apply Shleima Melech, expression of wonder and amazement? To which halacha does it apply? Hahu, that pasuk is referring to as follows. Lamaz or lamazan olav tar. That although the person who's a maza, who's doing the hazah, as well as the person who receives the hazah, lamazan olav, they're both tar. On the one hand, we see Mechatas involves tahara. On the other hand, v'noigeya ben tami, if one interacts, he touches the Efer Paraduma for no reason. So he touches the Mechatas unnecessarily. Teisus Nida Davtes says this. It means unnecessary touching. It makes him tami. That's a chiddush. When you interact with it in one way, it makes you tar. If you interact with it in a different way, it makes you tummy. That's what Shlomo Melech was expressing. I figured this out. It's very far. I want to hear a very nice word, a musar word, on this pasuk. I thought I could understand the depth of the Torah and the mitzvahs and the chukim of parah. It seems to be so distant. When a person considers himself roi and able to comprehend the depth of Torah, then he's really far away. He doesn't really have a true appreciation for Torah. Amarti echkema, if a person figures he can understand, then to him, the Torah is far away. If you ruchay kimen, he's really at a distance. But on the other hand, if a person really appreciates the depth and the magnitude of Torah's Hashem, he realizes that it's far from him. And anything that he understands is just a schuss. It's a minute interaction and comprehension with Torah. Just on the surface. Like the Ramban in the Hakdom of Bereshit says, all the Torah that we understand, everything, everything is less, listen to this, less than a tipa biyam hagodol. Equals less than a drop of water relative to the entire sea. So our comprehension is very limited. And if a person realizes that, then he's really zeichet to understand. If he says, I'm not echkema, let me try to understand whatever I could with my limited abilities, then the Torah is very close to him. Then he truly, truly relates to the Torah properly and is zeichet to comprehend Torah. In fact, that's also what Vart said regarding the chiddush of Akiva. When you take the water and imaza on a Torah, makes him tummy. On a tummy, makes him Torah. So in a derech hamusar, we can say, when a person knows that he's in need of help, he realizes that he's deficient, he's sort of tummy. So in that case, the water helps him. It's mitirim. He recognizes his chesroinus. He seeks to improve and to grow and to do tshuva. Then it's mitirim. But on the other hand, if a person says, oh, I'm tar. A tar, he becomes tamei. If he maz on the Torah, if this Torah fellow, a person who thinks that he's already there, then actually it has the opposite effect on him. This attitude makes him tamei, and doesn't allow him to grow and to reach great heights. That's a musaf art on this Gemara. But in any case, practically speaking, it was something which was incomprehensible. Shlomo HaMelech said, "Amarti ech kumvi chayki mimeni." According to Rabbi Akiva, it's referring to this concept of the fact that it has the ability to be metare a tummy and to be metame a Torah. According to Rabbanon, the fact that when you involve in hazah, it's okay. But if you just interact, unnecessarily do negia, it makes you tummy. Says the Gemara, "Omaz a Torah." Is that true? That when a person does hazah, person does the actual hazah, he's tar. The pasuk clearly says that a person who does the hazah on the main nida, the Rashi in Bamidbar explains main nida is not a isha nida. It means nida is lashon of tossing, of throwing. By yadu evan bi. So that's a reference to the may chatas, which is tossed, which is sprinkled. Umaze me anida yichaves begadav. A person who involves in hazah, he has to wash his clothing. He becomes tummy and his clothing as well. My maza nageya. It doesn't mean the maza. It means the person who touches it unnecessarily. How can you say that? Voksiv maza, voksiv nageya. In that same pasuk, we have reference to both. The pasuk says, "Umaze me anida yichaves begadav," and then the pasuk continues, "Vanageya be me anida yitma de arev." So how can you say that umaza is referring to the person who's touching it? We have both descriptions, both halachas and that pasuk. Apparently, maza is referring to a person doing hazah, and that makes him tummy. But another problem, another reason why you can't say that maza is noigeya, because the pasuk says, "Umaze mehanida yichabes begodav." He becomes tummy to the extent that he makes his clothing tummy as well. But then the pasuk says, "Vaneigeya mehanida yitma de'arav." Just merely touching it doesn't make your clothing tummy. The tumah that you've received doesn't extend to your clothing. Only the person himself is tummy, not his clothing. Va'oid, we see clearly the difference between the aloch of mazah, which affects his clothing, and the aloch of negeya, which the pasuk says doesn't affect his clothing. So you can't say mazah is negeya. Va'oid, mazah boi kibus begodim, negeya loy boi kibus begodim. By mazah he has to wash his hands, by negeya there's no din of kibus begodim, so you cannot say mazah is negeya. If so, we seem to have a pasuk that even the maza is tummy. Says the word Ella Mai Maza. You must say the word maza is referring to noise. A person who's carrying the mechatas. Perhaps he's not even touching it, but just carrying it. Carrying it, lifting its weight, is a more intense interaction. And in that case, the pasuk indeed tells you that you acquire tumah from the mechatas. Again, we're speaking touching, carrying unnecessarily. So then the tumah applied to the person, and we find this difference between noisei and negeya. By negeya, it's only a personal tumah without his clothing getting affected, but by noisei, it's a more intense interaction. He's actually carrying it. In that case, even his begadim become tumah. But the maza, merely doing the hazah, that doesn't generate a tumah. Says the Gemara, if maza means noisei, why can't the pasuk simply say the person who carries the me'anida will become tummy? Why use the word maza to describe the noise? My time exiv maza. Hokamashmon. The pasuk is telling us an additional chiddush, another aspect you meant to know. The be'ina shirazo. In order to become tummy through carrying the mechatas, you need to have a required amount, a shear of that water, which is royal hazo. And only then do we say, if one carries it, he and his clothing become tummy. So when it comes to negia, you don't need a sheer hazah, even just a drop. When it comes to masa, this more severe form of interaction and acquisition of tumah, then you need a sheer hazah. That's what the pasuk relates to the halacha of carrying with the term umaze. To teach us, the halacha of tumah by noise only applies if there is a sheer of mechatas, which is roi, for hazah. Ho nichlamadomar hazah tzricha shir. Yeah, that works according to the shita, which requires a certain shir, a minimal shir, when it comes to hazah. It's not clear what the shir is. Some of the farshim say, you need enough water there so that when you do the hazah and it lands on the person, it makes him wet. It doesn't just get absorbed and just slightly moist. It has to actually get him wet. If you have that amount of water, then it's kosher for hazah. You could dip the plant in and do the hazah. So according to this shita, hazah has a shear, and the pasuk which tells us umaze mehanidli chabas gadav is referring to the person who's carrying that amount of water, which has a shear hazah. But according to other shita, who doesn't require a shear of water when it comes to hazor, any amount of water is sufficient. So this concept doesn't exist. Michael Amemar, how you explain the pasuk now? Why is the pasuk, when looking to describe Tumas Masa, use the word Vamaze Me'anida? Why Maze Me'anida? Why not just say carry it? Even according to the Shita, which says that you don't need a shear by Zoh, Hanemile Agaba de Gav. That's a reference to the water which arrives on the person. You don't need a significant amount of water. Even just a drop works. But even that, Manda Omer will agree that in this Kali, you need to have a certain amount of water in order to enable it for Hazoh. And that's the sheer hazah that the Torah is referring to. The only way a person could become tummy through carrying mechatas, if there's a sheer hazah. What is the sheer hazah according to the Shita? The minimum amount of water required to allow you to dip your plant into the water. Because in the kli you need a certain amount. What is the sheer? This not. How much water? What's the minimum amount of mechatas which will allow you to do the hazah? Says the Mishnah, kadei sheyit boil, roshay give oil and miyaz, enough to allow you to dip the tips of the plant, of the grass, and dip it in, and do the hazah. There needs to be enough there to allow a sprinkling after dipping. Meaning you can't just take the grass and wipe around the kli. There needs to be an actual dip into water, and then do the hazah, which lands on the person. That's the minimum required amount of mechatas to enable hazah. And that's what the pasuk here is telling you. Umazeh me'anida yichabes b'godav. Not the hazah, not the mazeh. The mazeh is tar. According to Rabbanan, anytime there's a masa hazah, whether be it on a tummy, be it even on a tar, an act of hazah can never generate tumah. They disagree with the Rekiva, who holds that if you do hazah on a tar, it makes him tummy. No. Any masa hazah can only generate tahara and not the opposite. And the pasuk speaks about becoming tummy through interaction with the mechatas. It's unnecessary interaction through negiyah, through touching or carrying. But an act of hazah is a different type of maisa. That's not matam. And regarding the effect of maga or masa, we find that difference. That the pasuk is telling you by masa, the tumah extends to his begadim, and again, provided there's a shear, there's enough there that could potentially be used for hazah, and that's why the pasuk refers to this tumah with the word umazei. So be it the sheer water on a person, according to one shita, or according to the other shita, who doesn't need a shear on a person. You don't have to have a significant amount of water landing on the person, but you need to have a certain amount in the kli to enable the hazah. So either way, we have a shear, and that is the minimum mechatas required to generate tumas masa. That's number one. So masa is most severe, affects his clothing, and also needs a greater shear. Whereas when it comes to tumas maga, there's no din shear. Any sort of contact with any amount of mechatas generates a tumah to this person, but it's limited to himself and not his clothing. Okay, so getting back to the beginning of the sugya, we're wondering who the Manda Omer of our Mishnah is. Mishnah which tells us that the Kohen Gadol throughout the 70-day Prisha would take part in the Akrov and the Beis Hamikdash, apparently he was considered to be Tar. How is that? Don't we know that they apply the Mechatas to him throughout those 7 days on a daily basis? And on the chance that he was really Tar, we know that Hazah of Mechatas on a person who's Tar makes him Tamei, according to Shita's Rabbi Akiva. Apparently, we're not following Rabbi Akiva. Find Rabbanan, who don't hold of such a concept. Abaye Omar, I have another answer to the kash. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah could be in line even to Rabbi Kiva. What do you mean? Rabbi Kiva says, an unnecessary azah will make him tummy. How can he do the avodah? The avod avodah kule yom. He engages in avodah throughout the entire day. Ulapanya, towards evening, madole, they do the azah on him, v'taval, and then he goes to the mikvah, v'avod erev shemesh. And as soon as he has nightfall, he's completely tar. So the azah took place at the end of the day, not to interfere with the avodah asamikdash. So conclusion regarding mechatas, according to Rekiva, we have this great chiddush, that even a maisa hazal can make a person tummy. If it was done on a person who didn't need it, on a tar, he becomes tummy. According to Rabbanon, that's not the case. Any maisa hazal cannot generate tumma. All agree, when there's an unnecessary contact, that tumas maga, a person becomes tummy. When it comes to masa, carrying the mechatas, even without direct contact, just carrying it, and provided there's a sheer hazal there, that tumma extends to the person and his clothing. Continues the Gemara, Umakteris Akteris, Umeitevis Aneris. Mishnah gave us a list of various Hakrova and Haktara and avoid activities that the Kohen Gadol would engage in throughout the 7 days. Mishnah tells us, he's Zorikas Adam, he's Makteris Akteris, he's Meitevis Aneris. In that order. Alma Akteris Beration, Vahad Aneris. Apparently the proper order is first Haktaris Akteris, and then cleaning out the neiros of the menorah. So k'toyros and then neiros. V'raminu, we have a kasha from a mishnah in Maseches Tamid, which seems to place the order differently. Mi shezocha b'dishu mezbech ha'plimi. We have a description of the kohanim who engaged in piyosos, these lotteries, to determine who's going to be zoicha to do the various avoidas. The Mishnah begins, Misha Zocha B'dishu Mizbech HaPlimi, the Kohen who was Zoicha, to clean out the inner Mizbech. That's one Mishnah. The next Mishnah we have another discussion. U'Misha Zocha B'Menorah, the Kohen who was Zoicha to clean out the Menorah. And the next Mishnah we have, U'Misha Zocha B'Kteris, the Kohen who was Zoicha to bring the Kteris. It's pretty clear from the order of those Mishnahs that first comes Menorah, first comes Neiros, and then Kteris. So it's Neiros and then Keteris. And now Mishnah, we have it in the reverse. Keteris and then Neiros. It's a stira. Amar Rav Huna, it's a different Tana. Man Tana. Tamid, who is the author, who is the Tana of those Mishnayos in Maseches Tamid? Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah. It's Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah. How do we know it's him? Tosafos says Rav Huna had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe. Rashi says we actually find this man the Amar mentioned in a brisa describing the avoidance, we're assuming he is the man the Omer of that Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpahu, according to him, it's Neiros and then Keteris, as opposed to our Shita, our Mishnah Numa, which is a different man the Omer, who places it the other way around. Keteris and then Neiros. Says the Gemara, V'ivcha Shaminile. We actually find that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah does not agree with the description of the Avoida as described in the Mishnah and Talmud. So you can't say he is the author of the Mishnah and Talmud. He disagrees with the Stam Mishnah of Talmud. When it comes to the Hazor Sadam, as we're going to see, that's not. We're speaking about Zrika of the Dam Talmud, which was an Oila. An Oila generally requires a Matana of Shtaim Shem Arba. So you can go around the Mizbeach and apply the dam on two corners, on two opposite corners, Mizrach Tzafen and Marav Dorim. So this was the Mizbeach, and this was the Dorim side, the ramp off to the side. The Kohen was making rounds around the Mizbeach, from Dorim to Mizrach to Tzafen. At that corner, Mizrach Tzafen, he stops, applies the dam at the corner, so it spreads in both directions. So he covered both sides, so to speak. He continues around the Mizbeach to Marav, over back to Dorm. At that corner, stops again, and applies the Dam at the corner. And that spreads over to the two sides, Marav and Dorm. So he does two applications, Shtayim, Shem, Arba, which really translates into four, because it ends up in all four sides of the Mizbeach. So this was a general practice when it comes to an oil. Here as well, says the Mishnah by Tamid, the Kohen arrives to Mizrach Tzofin. No, he's a Mizrach Tzvoina. He puts the dam at that corner. Maravis Dreimus, he proceeds to the Mar of Durham corner, which is diagonally across the original corner. Noisa Maravis Dreimus, he places Damdir. V'toni Allah, we have a Brisa, which adds, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Mishana B'tamud. Rabbi Shimon maintained that a Tamud has a different type of Hazoas Dam, or Matan Dam, than a typical oil. He held like this. Mizrach is Tzvoinis, when he arrives to Mizrach Tzafin. No, he said Mizrach Tzvoin. Okay, over there, he does it in one shot, at the corner, to have it spread in both directions. But then when he makes his rounds around the Mizbeach, and he goes over to Marif, and then over to Dorim, Marav is Dreimis, Noisen Marav, V'achakach Noisen Dreimah. He holds that he doesn't do it at once. This is learned from Psukim. Rashi says that on that other corner, it's not one matana, it's not a one shot. He does one application to Marav and one to Dorim. And this is different than your typical oil. In any case, we see that Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah disagreed with the order, with the sequence, with the description of events as described in Mishnayos and Midos. So how could you suggest that the Mishnayos and Midos are in line with his opinion, that he's the author of those Mishnah? You can't say that. So getting back to our Kasha, we seem to have a contradiction between our Mishnah and Yuma, where it's Keteris and then Neiris, whereas in Tamid we have Neiris and then Keteris. Elam Rav Yechanan, Mantana Seder Yuma, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. Mishnayos Yuma and the sequence of events described therein are held by Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. That's his opinion. So we are following Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. He is the author of our Mishnayos. And that's why it's Keteris and Neiris, as opposed to Maseches Tamid, which is a different sheet, a different Tana, who put it the other way around. First Neiris, and then Keteris. So by us, it's Keteris, and then cleaning out the menorah. Over there, it's cleaning out the menorah, and then we mark the Keteris. Settlement, we're not done yet, because we seem to have a contradiction within Maseches Yuma itself regarding the exact Seder of events. The Rami Seder Yuma will have a steerer from one Mishnah in Yuma, a Seder Yuma, on another Mishnah describing the Seder of Yuma. We have our Mishnah in the first parak, where it's Keteris and then Neiris, whereas in the Mishnah in the second parak, we seem to have it in the reverse, Neiris and then Keteris. This is not Pais Hashem. So we're discussing the piyasas, the lotteries. So they went through several stages, several lotteries. So the second one was intended to determine who's going to be Pais Hashem, Mishechet, who's going to do the Shechita on the Korban Tamid, Mizorek, Mimedashem Mizbeach HaPnimi, who's going to clean out the interior Mizbeach, Umimedashem HaMenorah, who's going to clean out the menorah in preparation for the Adlak. Umimal Evarim LaKevish, and who has the privilege of bringing the Evarim of the Korban Tamid onto the Kevish. So that was the Pais Hashem. The Pais HaShlishi, the third lottery, was in order to determine who's going to be Zoicha in HaKetoras Keteris. And they announced, Chadosh L'Keteris, only those who are new to the Keteris, ones who were never Zoicha to bring Keteris, only they are entitled to participate in the Pais. Boyu Vafisu, come and take part in the Pais. Why only newcomers? Says Rashi. So Rashi here is on the first very wide line. Right in the middle of that line. Chadashim. Says Rashi, Kohanim Shali, Keturah Keteris Mimim. Only those Kohanim who never had a chance to bring Keteris, they will come together, Yiskabtsu Kulon Lekan, Legoyer Lekteris. Avalo Yishana, but not those who already had the privilege of bringing Keteris. Why? Davil Kaman, the Gemara tells us later, Me'olam Leishana Ba'adam. They never gave a person a second chance to bring Keteris, because it would make a person wealthy. And it was very sought after. We learn from here that Hashem gives a special bracha of wealth to those who engage in bringing Keteris. Okay, so that's the pshat why Chadashim L'Keteris. In any case, what do we see from this sequence of events, from those Mishnayos? How does it work? We learn from there, HaTovas HaNeiris, cleaning out the Neiris of the menorah, precede, are done in advance, Kedemas L'Keteris, before the Keteris. It's pretty clear from the Mishnah. In the Pais HaShani, they discuss who's cleaning out the menorah. But then in Pais HaShlishi, they proceeded to Keteris. So it's Neris and then Keteris. As opposed to our Mishnah here, we have Keteris and then Neris. So we have a steer within Masech HaSuma itself. How are we going to figure that out? The Gemara will give us two solutions. First we have Amar Abai. Loikasha, the answer is very simple. We discussed earlier in the Mishnah that the Hatovas Neiris, the cleansing of the menorah, took place in two stages. First, they cleaned out five of those cups. They stopped there. They interrupted with some other activity, whether it was the Dama Tamid, which was applied to the Mizbech at that point, or Haktaris Keteris, and then they came back to complete the Hatovas Neiris during the final two cups. It says Abaye, very simple. The Mishnahs are describing two different things. Like Hashe, Kan Matavash De Neiris. Our Mishnah, where it's Keteris and then Neiris, is referring to the last two Neiris of the menorah. So they did five, went out to do Keteris, came back to do the next two Neiris. So regarding the last two Neiris, it's Keteris and then Neiris. Kan, however, the other Mishnah Numa, where it's Neiris and then Keteris, is not referring to the last two Neiris, Batavas Chomesh Neiris. It's the first five that are being described there. In which case, it's Neiris and then Keteris. So according to Abaye, the way it worked was like this. You had Dama Tamid, you had five Neiris, Keteris, and two Neiris. And everybody agrees. This was the proper order of events. Our Mishnah, which says Keteris and then Neiris, is referring to the last two Neiris. Taisus explains the Kohen Gadol would involve himself only on those two Neiris. That was the end of the process. He would leave the other ones for somebody else. So our Mishnah was describing the Kohen Gadol's interaction, Kohen Gadol's involvement, is focusing squarely on those two remaining Neiris. It was five, Keteris and two. So Keteris and Neiris makes sense. Whereas the Mishnah there is describing the ordinary Kohen and describing the beginning of the Atava event. So it's the first five and then Keteris. That's how you get Neiris and Keteris. It's really not a machlokes. It's just a question of which segment are we focusing on. L'meimra, do you mean to say the Keteris mafsiklu? That the Keteris Keteris was the activity applied between the five and the two? We know from Pasuk, Babayka, Babayka, you meant to split the Hatova, the cleansing process, into two parts. The question was what used to be mafsik. Apparently, he says Abaye, it's the Keteris that's going to go in the way. It's going to be mafsik between 5 and 2. Is that the pshat? Does Abaye really hold that Keteris comes right in the middle there? V'habaye, but Abaye himself, Mesader Marocha, he presented the sequence of events in the Beis HaMikdash, the Marocha, and how they did the Keteris. Mishmei de Gemar, he was Mesader Marocha, he listed the exact order of the akrovis involving the marach arranging the wood on his back. In short, all the avoidas naktoris, mishmei de gemar, the name of the bnei yeshiva, the name of the rabbeim, which we're going to learn by Hashem tomorrow, all based on psukim. The sequence and order was very exact and precise. And Abaye presented it differently. Ubedama tamid mafsiklu. We're going to see that Abaye listed the Dama Tomet as the activity meant to take place in between the Hatava, between the five and the two. Not the Keteris. So how can Abaye over here tell us it's a Keteris that comes in between five and two? Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva, responded, Loikash. The answer is, depends which Shita, Ahila Vashol. When Abaye later on tells you the Dama Tomet, the Zrika of the Dama Tomet took place between the five and the two, that was according to Abashol Shita. But our Mishnah is here, the first parak and the second parak, are following Shitas Rabbanon, who maintained that the Keteris Keteris was the activity which took place in the middle of the Hatava, between the five and the two. Where do we find this machlekes? Between Abishol, who maintained it was the Dama Tamid that came between, and Rabbanon, who maintained the Keteris, the Sani. Lo Yeite V'Saneiris V'Achach Yakter. He should not complete the entire Hatava Saneris, all seven Neiris, and then do the Yaktara. That's not the way it's meant to be. Ela Yaktir va'achachit. Rather, it's first Haktara and then completing the Hatava Saneris, meaning first clean five, then Haktaras Keturas, and then complete the cleansing process with the remaining two Neiros. That's the Shitas Rabbanon. They hold 5 Haktaras Keturas, and then 2. Abba Sholomer Meitiv V'achach Makter. He maintains that you complete the entire Hatovas HaNeiros and then proceed to Haktar. My Tamid Abba Shol. What is Abba Shol's reason? Who says it's completely Hatova and then Keturas. Now, according to Abba Shol, of course, there's a hefsek between the 5 and the 2, but you mafsek not with Haktar, which is meant to follow the entire process of Hatova, rather you mafsek with Dama Tamid. So what is Abba Shol's reason? That Keturas follows the complete Hatovas HaNeiros. The Chesiv HaBoker HaBoker HaTivas HaNeiros. Pasuk says in the morning, when he is made to the Neiros, when he cleans the menorah. And then it says, V'hadar Yaktireno. Then it says, Yaktireno. Which indicates, Haktaras Keturas follows the entire Hatovas HaNeiros process. For Rabbanon, now what did the Rabbanon do with this Pasuk? My Kamer Rachmana. What did the Torah mean when it said, first you clean the menorah, you do Hatovas HaNeiros, and then Yaktireno? Be'idan Hatova. Teres simply means that when he is engaged in cleaning out the remaining two neiros, the keteres will have already been brought. That's what the pasuk means. Be'tivas haneiros yak tirena, describing a past event. The keteres will have already been brought by that time. Dilei tei mehachid, because if you're not going to follow this definition, you'll take the psukim literally, that it's first the hatov and then the keteres. That may work here, in the morning. But in the afternoon, when Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah, we have a pasuk which is a very similarly sounding pasuk. And over there, you can't interpret it in this way. Dilei tei mehachid, because if you don't follow this definition, Bein Arbaim, what about in the afternoon? Tachsiv, O Bahalo is Aaron Es HaNeiros. Bein Arbaim Yak Tireno, when Aaron HaKohen will light the menorah, Bein Arbaim Yak Tireno, who bring the Keturas? Hachinami, here as well, speaking to Abba Shol, here as well, you're going to say, the Beresh of Madlik Neiros. V'hadah Maktik Teres Shebin Abayim? We'll take the Pasuk, the Seder of the Pasuk literally, that first he lights the menorah and then he brings the Teres? That doesn't work. V'chita Mechanami. If you'll say so, it's not true. You can't suggest that. V'atani, because we have a price, that the Adlokas HaNeiros was the last activity on the daily schedule. Me'erev Adboik, Pasuk says, Ubahalois Yaruch Oisi Aaron Bonav Me'erev Adboik. Aaron HaKohen will light the menorah from evening to morning. We learn from here two things. Number one, the amount of oil meant to be placed in the menorah, Tein lo midasa, put in enough oil, which Rashi says was a half a lug, Shtei delekes v'leches kol laila, which will last throughout the night, Me'erev Adboik. So half a lug was enough for the longest night of the year. Rashi says, well, on the short nights it would have some leftover. Tehid Shanim said it would actually make the wicks thicker on those short nights, so that it consumes the entire supply of oil. In any case, that's what the pasuk is telling you. Put in enough oil to last throughout the night. Darach, another pshat. Me'erev Adboik is telling you, Ein lecha avoda shekshera me'erev Adboik ela zubavat. This is the last thing on the list. There's no other avoda siyim, no other part of the daily routine, which is kosher, to be done at night. Ein lecha avoda shekshera me'erev Adboik. There's no other avoda which is kosher throughout the night. Except for this avoid, except for the Adlokas Neiros, in which case the Neiros burn throughout the night. It's pretty clear. The last avoida is the Neiros, and not the Keturas. It's not followed by Keturas. So how do we interpret the Pasuk? The Pasuk, which we just mentioned, Ubahalo is Aranus HaNeiros Bein Arbaim, Yakti Reno, which seems to indicate that Keturas takes place after Adlokas Neiros, we know it's not to be so. Elam Aikam Rachmona, apparently, what is the Pasuk telling you? Exactly as the way we interpret the Pasuk. Be'idan Hadlaka. Te'imik the Keturas. Not that you do Keturas after the Neiros. Be'idan Hadlaka, while he's engaged in lighting the Neiros, te'imik the Keturas. The Keturas will have already even brought in the Mizbeach. Keturas precedes Hadlokas Neiros. Hachanami here as well, when it comes to the morning routine. The Pasuk that we had in the bottom of Yidalam and Beitz. And the pasuk concludes with the word Yaktireno there as well. The pasuk doesn't mean that this is a sequence of events. First you clean out the menorah and then do the Haktaras Keturas. Hachanami here as well. The pasuk means when he's engaged in cleaning out those remaining two Neiros, the Keturas will have already been brought on the Mizbeach. So according to the Rabbanim, it's going to be cleaning out five neiros, then keter, and then cleaning out the remaining two. According to Abishol, no, it's first cleaning five, then bring the damatamen in the middle to make that hefsek, then the final two are clean, and then the keteris. But all agree when it comes to the Bein Arbaim routine, of course, keteris preceded hadagas neiros. That's a kashan Abishol. He agrees that keteris precedes hadagas neiros. We have a pasuk, me'erev hadboik, this is the only thing. Hadagas neiros is the only thing valid at night. Now all the pasuk says, Bein Arbaim Yaktirena, doesn't mean do the keteris after the neiros. Rather before the neiros. They should be already, the keteris is already burning during the hadagas neiros. This is right to Rabbanan's approach, right to their interpretation of the pasukim. And the kashat Abishol. V'Abishol Amlach, Abishol will respond. Shani Hasan, Dichsev Oysa. I agree. When it comes to Adlokas Neris and Keteris, of course, Keteris precedes Adlokas Neris. The pasuk says, Yaroch Oysoi, Aaron Ubanav Erad Boike. It's a miut. Only this is kosher at night. And Keteris can't follow Adlokas Neris, apparently. The pasuk says, Ba'alis Aaron as Haneris Ben Abayim Yaktirena. Doesn't mean literally, this is the order of events. You can't have anything after Neris. The pasuk says, only the Neris are there throughout the night. Apparently here the Keteris precedes the Neris. But that's an account of an extra pasuk, extra miut of Oysa. But when it comes to the other discussion, the morning routine, when they did the Hatava and the Keteris, I maintain, let's follow the wording of the pasuk literally. And then it says Aktirena, to indicate that Keteris follows the Neris. Okay, so this was Abaye's way to answer the kasha between our Mishnah, where it was Keteris and then Neiros, and the Mishnah later on in Yuma, where it's Neiros and then Keteris. Says Abaye, both Mishnahs are following Shittas Rabbanon, where it was Dama Tamid, then cleaning out the five Neiros, then comes Keteris, followed by the remaining two Neiros. Our Mishnah, which says Keteris and Neiros, speaking about the final two Neiros, which the Kohen Gadol was involved with. So it's Keteris and then Neiros. The Mishnah later on is describing the first five Neiros. So it's Neiros and then Keteris. Very simple. Rav Papa Amar has a different Teretz. Both Mishnahs are speaking about the same Neiros. The last two that are being cleaned out. And the two Mishnahs reflect these two opinions of Abishol and Rabban, like Kash. Harabban, the Mishnah by us, where it's Keteris and then Neiros, is Harabban, following the Rabban, who hold that it was five Neiros, then Keteris, and then the remaining two Neiros. So Keteris and Neiros is a reference to the last two Neiros. It's Rabbanu. Ha'abashol, the Mishnah later on, is following Abishol Shit, who holds that Keteris was way later. You first had the five Neiros clean, then the Dama Tamid applied, and then the last two Neiros, and then the Keteris. That's what the Mishnah says, Neiros and Keteris. Because that was the Seder according to Abishol. So conclusion, we had a steer regarding the Mishnah of Maseches Yuma, which are presumed to be following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. We had a steer. One Mishnah by us speaks about Keteris and then Neiros. Mishnah later on speaks about Neiros and then Keteris. Said that by it, there's no contradiction whatsoever. There's no steer. The Seder was as follows. Dam Tamid, then the Atav of the Chavish Neiros, followed by Keteris, and concluded with the Shtei Neiros. Our Mishnah speaking about the last two Neiros. So it's Keteris and then Neiros. Mishnah later speaking of the first five Neiros. That's why it's described as Neiros and then Keteris. Rav Papa says, our Mishnah is following the Rabbanon, who worked as follows. Dama Tamid, and then Chamesh Neiros, followed by Keteris, and then two Neiros. So the Mishnah is describing the last two Neiros, and therefore it's Keteris and then two Neiros. The Mishnah later on is following Abishol. And again, we're focusing on the last two Neiros. But according to him, it was first cleaning five Neiros, followed by Dama Tamid, which was mafsed between the Atava of the five and the two. Then we have two Neiros, and then Keteris. That's what the Mishnah says. It's Neiros and Keteris, and following with Shita's Abishol. Now regarding the Mishnah and Tamid, where it's Neiros and Keteris, so that's following a different Shita, a different Tana, who holds, first they clean the five Neiros, then came the Dama Tamid, then they clean the two Neiros, then the Keteris. And it seems that according to Rav Papa, it's very plausible to say that that Mishnah is following Shittas Abishol, who holds that that was the proper sequence of events. Okay, time for a brief chazara. Mishnah tells us that Kohen Gadol had first rights when it came to being makriv karbonis and eating kachim. In fact, throughout the 7 days of Prisha, he would be actively engaged in the aktara of the avoida of the karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash to train him in. What about the fact that they did hazov mechatos throughout the 7 days? Why doesn't it make a tummy? Well, following the Rabban, don't hold such a chiddush that putting hazov on a Torah will make him tummy. Or, even according to Rabbi Akiva, they waited until the end of the day, in which case it didn't interfere with his avoida. We had a contradiction regarding the Seder. Neiros, Aktar, Aktar, Neiros. We have a Mishnah here, a Mishnah later, a Mishnah Tamid. And we have two ways to answer the stira. We have Abaye and Rapapa. Kol tov v'natzlocha Rabbah.